Moneyinthebank.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
I'm Sonny Tidamarella.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always likes a good rant. And you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host,
Dear Kitty. Dear Kitty.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're
here. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, /producer/handyman, Sir Rockin.
That's right. I am here, and we're ready to go because we got stuff to do tonight.
We do. We have a lot to get into. We have news. We have Fastlane, we have NXT, we have SmackDown.
No, wait, we have SmackDown?
We do have SmackDown because I'm going to give my live report because SmackDown was in Atlanta. Holla holla.
Did you see any tag team matches because you said holla holla?
I did see tag team matches. I did. They were a main event, but I saw them.
Hey, the main event of SmackDown was a tag team match, player.
It was a six-man.
Holla holla holla.
Saw some divas, saw some Bray Wyatt. We're going to get on to all of that a little bit later in the show, but now I say we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And, well, we have to talk about one of the biggest stories of the week. We did have a leading story until this afternoon when, well, there was breaking news.
Booyaka, booyaka.
It was quietly announced by WWE, not even announced, but today WWE very slightly and quietly moved Rey Mysterio over to the alumni section of WWE.com, and when people noticed, they reached out to WWE, and, well, they sent back a response saying that Rey Mysterio is no longer affiliated with the company, so Rey is officially done with WWE, according to certain sources.
All right, so... One, I need to know who these people who are stalking WWE.com superstar section and notice these things, because that takes some, you know, stalking ability on WWE.com to notice that he wasn't there, first off. And second, wait, he was still with the company?
Apparently so.
Well, yeah, he was actually still apparently with the company, because he's featured in all their video game stuff, you know, the WWE Supercard game, and he's... You know, was a big part of the movie we watched that we're going to talk about here in a little bit, WWE Flintstones.
Yes.
We got some comments about that movie. It's not a shocking release by any means because it's Rey Mysterio and he has been with the company in a year. And there's been talks of him, you know, he wanted out last year and, you know, because he missed so much time, Vince rolled over his contract and he has been happy since. And there's been talks of Virus, he was going to come back, yada, yada, yada. And there's always been all these plans. And now he's just quietly released. It's a shame that he's gone out the way he has, because he came in as one of the top stars, you know, for the SmackDown brand for years. And he's a great wrestler, don't get me wrong, but it's like, I think he deserved the better exit than the one he's been given.
I would agree with that. I think he deserved a much grander send-off, especially considering everything he had done for and with the company and his history with not only WWE, but WCW, and his time on the indies, just to kind of sort of give him that really grand goodbye, and we get to see him one more time and that kind of thing. But, you know, like you said, he was supposed to be released a year ago. He had no intention of resigning. But they, you know, pretty much out of spite, because it was, he missed so much time due to medical reasons with his knees. They rolled over his contract, made him stay an extra year, because also part of it was he didn't want to go down to AAA, and they really kind of didn't want to let him.
It's more like he wanted to go to AAA and they didn't want him to go.
That's what I said.
No, that's not what you said.
That's what I meant to say.
That's why I was correcting you.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so it was pretty much done out of spite to keep him. So now he's been very quietly released, and it's see ya, so long, farewell, I'll be saying goodbye kind of thing. But it's really kind of sad. And in terms of the people stalking WWE.com, it's probably the same people like us who, whenever we have a question of anything wrestling related, we always end up in the roster section of WWE.com.
I was waiting for you to bring that up, honestly.
Every conversation, swear to God, we end up on WWE.com.
Yeah, just about. So it's like, yeah. Here's the big question. Is Rey Mysterio a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Better question. Will he ever go into their Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think he will.
Okay.
It won't be for a while unless they decide to do it this year.
Which they won't.
But I would say probably another 5 to 10 years conservative that we see Rey go in.
Time heals all wounds, and when they come back to the West Coast, he'll probably go back in. Yeah, I can see that. It's just his last couple of years in WWE just sort of went out without any sort of, I don't know, lackluster. I know he teamed with Sin Cara, but he was injured, and then he really hasn't done anything since his, WWE Championship win a couple of years ago?
Yeah, he's been in and out with injuries. He's had problems with his knees. I think he tore a bicep. He's had a lot of issues, and so he's been gone than he's been there. And it's just been hard to sort of keep track of him because he's there really so infrequently.
Yeah, and it's a shame because he was cool, and they wanted him for one specific reason, and that was the Latino market. And, you know, they keep making merch for him repeatedly. He gets action figure after action figure, and it's like, yeah. And, you know, what's sad is his last big moment in WWE was in the Royal Rumble last year when being booed out of the building because he wasn't Daniel Bryan.
Which is kind of sad.
It is kind of sad. It's a shame the way he's gone out.
Yeah. I think he deserved a much grander exit, and he may get it. They might something work. I don't know. I can't talk tonight, but they might work something out with him later on down the line, because I'm not sure if it was Vince or if it was Hunter that opted the contract.
Vince.
So it might be something that Hunter can work something out with him.
Probably. And then, go ahead.
It just all depends on how tight Hunter and Rey are.
Yeah, we'll never get that, you know, break that Guinness Book of World Record for crowds with masks unless you start making, what's his name? In the Lucha Dragons. Kalisto. Kalisto Mask. Could do it. He'll get over.
Well, he is touring on the road right now, so that he maybe get ready to come up, and if that's the case, they could sell those masks.
They could.
And they still have Sin Cara.
They could totally sell Kalisto Mask.
It's kind of cool, actually.
Because Kalisto's awesome.
Sin Cara's gotten better.
Kalisto's cool.
Kalisto's cool, and he's really good. Really good. So, yeah. Just have to see how that goes. But, yeah, so very sad to see how Rey is going out. But best of luck to him. By the way, there is a press conference with AAA this Tuesday. Not sure of the time, but wonder what that could possibly be about.
He possibly could be going there. We'll have to find out on Tuesday. And we'll, if anything breaks, we'll tell you next week on the show.
We will. But now we need to talk about the other big story of the week. Because, yeah, there were two. And this happened Monday night, where the Give Divas a Chance hashtag kind of sort of maybe really didn't break Twitter, but broke WWE's Twitter at least.
It blew up.
it blew up, where it was trending for 24 hours to the point that it elicited a response from Vince McMahon, where he said, basically, sit tight and keep watching. You know, basically, okay, yeah, we hear you. We get it. All right, chill. And if you don't know what it was for, it was actually in response to the 30-second Divas match on Monday Night Raw between
Emma and Paige taking on the Bella Twins.
Yeah, where everybody got pissed because they had to stand there in the ring while they played a Sting promo, and then they did a 30-second Divas match. Like, and everybody got pissed because it's like, what the crap?
And rightfully so.
Oh, yeah, rightfully so. So, you know, it's really cool that everybody tweeted it out, and it's still going on, and everybody's still rallying behind it, and management has heard it. Yeah. And they're now, and it's like, basically, okay, we get it. We totally get it. And you're now seeing other girls that, before this happened, speaking out, like Brie Bella, made comments how, you know, she was in NXT Divas, she wouldn't want to come up. Because they get way more time down in NXT. They're treated way better down in NXT.
Right.
Than they are on the main roster.
And I wrote this on WildTalkRadio.com. Shameless. I talked about this whole Give a Diva a Chance thing, and it's like, the one thing with this whole, you know, changeover thing, you want more time, you gotta change people's mindsets. You just can't go out there and say, hey, Nikki and Paige go 15 minutes on Monday Night Raw. You gotta give people a reason to care. So they gotta change over the philosophy and overhaul it completely if the divas are actually going to get a chance.
Well, the thing is that certain divas are being given a chance. Girls like Paige, AJ, Charlotte.
Can't count Charlotte because of the wrong roster.
But still, Charlotte's not being dismissed.
No. I'm not saying being dismissed. I think it's more if you want them to be given the time for people to care. Because what's the saying when a Divas match comes on?
Oh, it's the piss break match.
You gotta change the mindset. And that's the way to do it, is getting people to care.
Oh, I know. And you do that through interesting characters and also good matches. And you have to give them the time. Because the reason why they became piss break matches was because they were stupid. They were bra and panties. They were gimmicks. They were their girls going out there and shaking their asses. Because, you know, from what, like 2000 to 2004 or 5, somewhere in those range, I remember the Divas matches being really good. And yeah, they were gimmicky and some of them were really stupid, but some of them were also really good and really entertaining because the girls could go out there and put on a show. And certain divas are given more preference than others. Like Paige is viewed as a wrestler. AJ is viewed as a wrestler. Charlotte will be viewed as a wrestler when she comes up.
Right.
Whereas some of the girls like the Bellas, and I need to add, Natty is also viewed as a wrestler. Girls like the Bellas are not.
Because of how they came in.
Because of how they came in. They're seen as models. They're seen as jokes. And even though Bricky. We'll just call him Bricky.
Bricky. Okay.
Bricky.
Hashtag Bricky, everyone.
Hashtag Bricky. Nikki and Brie have gotten better.
They've completely overhauled their talent. In and out of the ring, they are 100% better than they were 6 years ago when they first came in. Even I would say 2 years ago when they came back, they're 100 times better than they were. And they actually deserve the time they get in the ring. Nikki actually deserves the belt right now. Just pointed it out. She deserves her run. Could the run be better? That's yes. But she deserves the chance because she's put in the effort. She gotta change the mindset of the people who think, oh, it's a Divas match, it's a piss break, we can go do something else.
But you also have to change the mindset of the writers. You have to change the mindset of the people backstage, too.
Oh, yeah, you got to win them over.
No, I'm not talking about the people out. I'm talking about backstage.
I'm talking about it. You have to win them over. You got to win them by delivering. You got to change their mindset.
I don't know if delivering them is going to change their mindset. That's the only thing. Because I think certain people will change. Certain people will adjust their point of view based on what they see, whether they're impressed or not. And then there are some people who are never going to change. And the girls are just going to be the girls. And they're not worth the time. And that's the thing that has to change, is that they're not worth the time. They're just there to be eye candy. You know, you hear stories about how people are being punished or were punished before putting on matches that were better than the guys. And that's not what it should be like. You know, it's the girls should be able to go just as well as the guys, if not better. And if the guys are getting outshone, guess what? They should step it up.
Yes.
I mean, you're actually seeing that on the roster right now where NXT is showing up the main roster. They don't like it. So what are they doing? They're stepping up. Because it's, hey, we don't want to get overshadowed by a bunch of guys down in Florida.
Correct.
It's creating a competition within the roster that we haven't seen in a long time, and it's lighting a fire under some people's asses. I don't understand why the girls can't be any different, where it's, well, why shouldn't they be able to go out there and put on, you know, 15, 20-minute competitive matches? Like, the match between Natty and Charlotte is one of the best Divas matches I've seen in a long, long damn time.
That's a good word you said. Competition, competitive. Make the Divas division about competition. Make it competitive. Make it get a bunch of girls who are dominant. You have a couple girls who are there to be fed. You have the dominant girls wrestle other dominant girls in competitive long matches. You'll get standing ovations and claps from everybody in the crowd. Because that's why it matters in NXT, because there's a competition. X girl wants to be better than Y girl. Y girl wants to be better than Z girl. Z wants to be better than X. That's why NXT is working, because they're all competitive. They all have one mission. And that's why it's taken seriously.
Yeah. And they don't have feuds over... They don't have high school level feuds than NXT.
Mm-mm. It's, I want to beat you because I want your belt.
Yeah. And that's the thing that needs to change, is how the Divas are written. And once the Divas are written more seriously.
We're doing injury angles with the Divas in NXT. Bayley's been working a knee injury. Worked in knee injury for about 2 months because of an angle. When was the last Diva injury angle in Raw?
AJ?
Been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, been a long, long, long while.
And even with AJ, it was an angle, but they never really sold it beyond a week. They sold Bayley for weeks. And that then we'll talk about it later, but there's another one probably because she's going to sell for a while, too.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, it's...
Give the Divas a chance, everybody.
I would love to see them, just as from a female fan's perspective. To me, it's really frustrating that the girls are not treated the same as the guys. Because it's, I know the girls that they have can put on really spectacular matches. And it's like, I saw a tweet where somebody put out, or it was a tweet or it was a comment basically, that you have two of the most talented divas on the roster right now, Naomi and Natty, valeting their husbands. It's like, yeah, it's great. It gets them on TV, but it's like they could be going out there and having 5-star matches, but instead all they're viewed as is eye candy, which is really frustrating. And that's the thing, especially for Natty, who's been with that company for forever. She was never really given a chance.
No, and I don't like to comment about them just being out there valeting their husbands, because they're doing a little bit more than that.
They're doing a little bit more than that, but not much.
No, they've been in there a bunch. They've been they're actually an integral part of this feud. So there's been other instances where they're valeting people, but I think in this case they're a little bit more heavily involved in it, because we saw the match on SmackDown tonight. They did a mixed tag the week before on Raw. They're in there, and I think it could lead to another... I think it's building to another 6-person tag at some point.
But I'd rather it be about them.
I would agree, but...
I'd rather it be more a focus for them than for them for it all to be mixed up like that. That's just how I kind of feel about it. And it's like, Natty's never really been taken seriously. They had Beth Phoenix. They never took Beth Phoenix really...
They did for a while.
They did for a while, and then they just kind of lost interest, or basically they switched over to a new mindset in terms of what they wanted, and Beth got left by the wayside. But just as a female fan, it's really frustrating to see the girls being treated the way that they have been for all these years. Like, to just have to sit through countless bras and panties matches and lingerie matches and pillow fights and brawls and gravy and pudding and dildos on a pole and... spanking matches and just bikini contests. Just, God, I'm just thinking of everything that I've watched that they've done with the Divas, and the fact that the guys don't have to do the same thing is really kind of irritating. Like, you know what? Why? Where the hell is my tuxedo match, damn it?
I was waiting for that.
Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, damn it, I want those two ripping each other's clothes off. I want it. But no. It's just, I feel like the girls should be treated more equally, and they should, you know, be thought of on the same level as the guys. And they should all have to do the same things.
And it starts with, don't screw them out of TV time.
please don't screw them out of TV time anymore. Please, because you actually, I've seen interviews with like Tori Wilson and Maria Kanellis and Candice Michelle, where basically they said, you know, yeah, we went and pitched ideas, but they didn't give a shit. It's basically they wanted you to go out there and shake your tits and your ass, and that's all they expected you to do. Like, they never wanted you to wrestle.
Right. And I was really disappointed, actually, because when I heard Paige and Emma were teaming up, I was like, this is going to be good. But then it was 30 seconds, like, aww.
Yeah, and they actually are on Main Event.
Which we don't get anymore.
Which the U.S. doesn't get to see. But they actually let the Bellas and Paige and Emma have like a 10 or 15 minute match on Main Event.
So they gave them a chance to some Main Event, the international version.
And it was actually pretty good.
I'm disappointed because I actually want to see that match.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. But yeah, it was just kind of amazing because it's the power of social media. Mm-hmm. Kind of bringing it all the way back around where it's, you know, we're not going to tolerate it. And we will make you hear us one way or another. And when you can elicit a response from Vince where it's like, okay, yeah, we get it. But it's like, we shouldn't have to do that.
Right, and then AJ went out on Twitter and made some comments about using your voice, and she was right.
Yeah, where basically Stephanie McMahon commented, because it was like the day after Patricia Arquette went up on the Oscars and basically preached for equal pay for women and women's rights and that kind of thing, and AJ, and like Stephanie basically agreed with her, and AJ proceeded to call Stephanie out on Twitter. It was amazing about how, well, you know, she does it. It's like, yeah, she likes the words, but she's not practicing the words because the girls are not paid the same level that the guys are, and they're not treated the same way.
Right. And now, a couple of little things on that. Apparently, some of the girls in NXT get paid more than dudes in NXT.
Yeah, they do. It's actually, from what I understand and what I've heard about that, is the reason why is because they're considered having more upkeep than the guys, because they have to get their nails done, they have to get hair extensions, get their hair dyed, they have to do the waxing. They have a lot more maintenance than the guys do. And so therefore they get more money to take care of that.
I didn't hear all that. I heard it was just because they're brought in differently, and the guys in the indie scene, some of them don't, you know, get paid little on the indie scene, so they figure that WWE will pay a little bit more, but they have to earn their you know, raises.
No, I always heard that it was because the girls had more maintenance that they had to do, and so they got paid. Because they only make, like, $500 a week, something like that, from what I heard. At least that's like, years ago, and that's years ago. So it's probably more, but I heard that they were only making about $30,000 or $40,000 a year down at NXT. It's not a lot of money.
No, because again, it can't be a lot of money, because if it was, then, you know, it wouldn't be a money-making organization.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, you know, a lot of those girls have hair extensions, a lot of them dye their hair, they have to get their nails done, and that stuff is not cheap.
As someone who gets her nails done on a regular basis.
Yeah, as someone who gets her nails done on a regular basis, you know, in terms of you have to get your nails done, you have to get everything waxed, and let me tell you how much that how much fun that is. You know, you have to do certain maintenance things because that's what's expected of you as a girl. That's not cheap. And depending on what salon / nail place you go to, prices can range from, you know, like $30 to a couple $100s.
Right.
Especially if you're getting like hair extensions put in. That shit is not cheap. Because they get good hair extensions put in. They don't get the shitty ones. They get the good ones. And those are pretty expensive. So, you know, I just, that's what I had heard, is that they get paid more for what they have to do in terms of looking right for TV.
That could also be true. You never know. Anyway,
speaking of NXT, we gotta go to our third story.
Our third story of the week.
Big story. And that is that NXT superstar Solomon Crowe got to play Superman when he pulled a woman out of an overturned SUV in Orlando.
That was amazing.
That was amazing. He basically was standing there after practice. I think he had gone to the grocery store or something like that. He saw the wreck happen, and like he and his buddy took off, ran over to the car, pulled the woman out of the car, and waited with her until the police arrived.
It's kind of awesome.
That is kind of awesome. And he got a whole bunch of kudos for it, as he deserves. And yeah, it was really cool.
Well done, Solomon Crowe. Well done. We applaud you, sir. We applaud you.
Speaking of applause, we also had the Bushwhackers going into the Hall of Fame.
Yay. All right. We said we'd talk about it more tonight. Yay, yay, the Bushwhackers going in. Like Rikishi, I'm sort of surprised. That's about it. I'm surprised. I didn't think they were Hall of Fame worthy. Well, that's me.
Yeah, that's kind of me, too. I'm not as familiar with the Bushwhackers as he is, so I can't really guess to it, but this is kind of F Hall of Fame year?
Pretty much. There's a lot of questionable decisions in this Hall of Fame this year. That's for sure. But yeah, good congratulations to Bushwhackers. That's all I got. I don't have much more to say about them, but they're the Bushwhackers. Hooray.
Yay! And speaking of yays, because awkward transition, Samoa Joe, as we reported last week, had left TNA. And, well, he is not going to WWE. He is, in fact, going back to ROH.
Yeah, he has a few dates scheduled with Ring of Honor. There will be 6 of them, including, this is just breaking news, another breaking news story today. He has been added to this Sunday's pay-per-view extravaganza for Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor's 13th anniversary pay-per-view show in Las Vegas. He will be on that show. He'll be a part of the show on WrestleMania weekend as well. So check out ROHWrestling.com for complete dates for when Samoa Joe will be available. And in your neck of the woods, Samoa Joe is back with Ring of Honor, which is awesome. He has a lot of offers on the table right now. A lot. And that does include WWE.
Yeah.
There is a WWE offer on the table. It's up to him if he wants to accept it. We don't know what type of offer from WWE it is, but WWE has put an offer out to him. So right now he has 6 dates with the Ring of Honor. See how far that goes. If he wants to stay with them, great. But for 6 dates, 7 dates because he's doing the Hall of Fame, or not the Hall of Fame, the pay-per-view on Sunday. So there you go. So check out Samoa Joe and the rest of Ring of Honor this Sunday on pay-per-view. Call your local cable providers for ticket information, or pay-per-view purchase information. So there you go.
And, well, before we get to the Flintstones, we have to talk one more WWE story, and that's the rumors surrounding Brock Lesnar. As we know, he was booked for Monday Night Raw, he was at Monday Night Raw, and while Brock didn't appear on TV, because supposedly Brock left in rather a huff, before Raw was over.
Alright, so here's what we know. Roman Reigns failed a drug test. No.
No, that's false.
That's completely false. Alright, so we all know that Brock Lesnar's contract is up the day after WrestleMania. It's been very clear and evident that's been the talked about date. It's very clear that there's talk of him going back to UFC because he might want to fight again. But WWE is trying to work out a new contract with him, and apparently they've agreed upon a lot of things for a new contract. Then some things about the contract came up. And, well, Brock was not happy with how things were progressing. And he decided, let's take a more break and, I'll go home and we'll figure things out. So they're basically at a contract impasse at the moment. It's not like CM Punk just throwing a hissy fit and walking out. Brock was mad, and apparently rightfully so, according to some people, because he was probably told one thing and it's rigged. This is what sort of happens with WWE contracts. You're told one thing, and then when you read the contract, it says something completely different. So that could have been the case. We're not 100% sure. But there's a lot to do with the contract. They don't want it getting out. They're going to try to settle it. He has to be back on TV on March 9th, which is in 2 weeks. So hopefully he should be there for then. Because if he's not, then that's breach of contract. Since he was at Raw and he chose not to, I think he didn't walk out like Punk didn't say, screw it, I'm just leaving, blah, blah, blah. I think they probably agreed to him not appearing on the show because of the impasse, and he left. That's the way I'm perceiving how it went down, because no one else is going to tell me any differently, because I haven't heard anything differently.
Yeah, that's the thing. Nobody really knows what happened.
Because they're not trying to let it out.
No.
Which is good. You gotta keep all the discussion. So, if it was like, Brock Lesnar, walks out on Monday Night Raw. There's never been that report. He left. There's a difference between walking out and leaving. Like Tim was like, he quit. No, he didn't quit. They have a contract disagreement for a new contract.
He's still under the old one, and he's still gonna be held to obligate the old one.
Now, if he doesn't show up on March 9th, then you have a problem.
Yeah, cause he's got your belt.
He has your, well, he, they, technically he has the belt. I think they probably actually have the belt. But
yeah, they probably took it off him, but before he left.
Because he probably doesn't want to travel with it. But the thing is, he's your champion, you have WrestleMania. If he doesn't do it, then you have an issue. Since he's going to do, probably going to do WrestleMania, because none of it's creative. It's all business. Once he's settled the business, he will be back. And he should be back on March 9th. At least that's the hope as of now. Hopefully they settle one of them. And apparently it's something that it can be settled, can be fixed. It just needs to be fixed.
Yeah, I'm sure it can be. Everything can be settled. Everything can be fixed. It's just a question of how much money and or whatever else you want to throw at it.
Right. It's called you got to come up with a settlement. You know, you got both sides are sticking to their guns. That's where we're at. Stick to our guns, and then we got to come to an agreement.
Yeah. So.
So that's a good case of Brock maybe coming back to WWE.
Interesting.
But and also he's been being pressured by them to sign the contract before WrestleMania, so it's like he's not working without a contract. But in his mind, I think some of it's like, well, I want to try the free agency thing just to see what's out there.
Well, there were rumors that he wanted to go back to UFC, that he wanted to be a free agent, that he didn't want to do anything, but it's like, I think Brock has realized that the money's pretty good with Vince, and you know, while he probably wants to go back to UFC and try fighting for real, he probably doesn't want to be bothered with everything that's involved with that, and he's getting paid really good money to fake fight.
There's nothing fake about what he does.
Well, fake is a poor choice of words, but
a predetermined outcome.
Predetermined outcome, yes. Sorry about that. Predetermined outcome.
Because have we seen what Brock does in the ring?
Yeah.
There's nothing gentle or fake about that.
No, Brock is not gentle.
Brock hurts people. Isn't that right, Mr. Mark Calloway?
Shh, we don't talk about that.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
Waits for the sounder.
I'm not playing the sounder, just move on.
Oh, okay. So, well, that gives us a good transition, because speaking of Mr. Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
As you see on the very expensive technology screen,
we have to talk about a little movie that came out this week, which is the WWE Flintstones movie. And, well, yes, as you see on your technology screens, it stars several of WWE superstars, including The Undertaker.
In pink underwear.
In pink underwear. Yes, because, you know, and this was kind of one of those movies where it's like they got some of the people to voice it, but like for Scooby-Doo, they didn't get Kane, I don't think.
No.
To do his character. So it's like, okay, they got Taker in there. The question is Taker going to talk? And if he does, did they actually get Mark Calloway to do the voice? Ladies and gentlemen, yes. Yes, they did. They got Mark Calloway to do the voice in the movie. It is hilarious because he ends up in all these really awkward situations, including running around in pink underwear.
It's like, does my butt look big?
No, I think he said, do we have something else? Because this is riding up really bad or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. The picture, the way it's captured, does my butt look big?
Yeah, the picture is just like worth a thousand words. When I saw that and it came up in the movie, I was like, I'm done. I'm done.
It's a fun 50-minute film. It takes you back to your childhood about the Flintstones, and then you realize, oh, they modernized the Flintstones somewhat. It's like, eh. But at the same time, it had a cool little story.
It did, and it was I thought it was better than the Scooby-Doo one.
Yeah, yes and no. It had a better moment. It was shorter. Scooby-Doo, I thought, went a little too long.
Well, for me, it was like Scooby-Doo. There were all these plot points. Like, there's still the creepy guy up in the woods that, like, hates the WWE city people. But, you know, probably related to Bray Wyatt in some capacity. They do anything about that guy? Nope.
No.
This one, at least, you know, it has a sensible ending where it all works out and they tie up all the loose ends really well. But, yeah, it was like, it's like, oh, this is kind of cute.
So you have John Cena Stone, Nikki and Brie Boulder, Rey Mysterio Pull.
Yeah.
Mr. McMagma, Daniel Bryrock. Daniel Bryan in this movie, he's in there for like 10 to 15 seconds.
But he's in it.
It's tremendous. They reenact Hell No with him and, what, Cena?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was priceless. He does his yes little thing. It was tremendous. UFC and punk rock, Mark Marble, Henry, and of course, The Undertaker.
Yeah, I love how everybody's name is Flintstones except The Undertaker.
Yeah.
It's The Undertaker starring as The Undertaker.
And the plot point is, you know, Fred Flintstone produces his own sports entertainment show. That's the plot.
Yeah, basically he wants to take his wife on a vacation, and so he accidentally figures out, hey, I can make money off of wrestling, so that's what he does.
I like how they call it sports entertainment.
Yeah, sport. I'm going to throw me a sports entertainment type event. Key phrases, y'all. Key phrases.
It was very fun.
It was very fun. It's very cute. If you're into that kind of thing, definitely check it out. It's good for a laugh. If nothing else, it is good for a laugh.
That I will say. It is good for a laugh.
Yeah, so on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about last night's exciting NXT, and we'll let you know what went down, because, well, stuff's happened, y'all. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Blowing up screens like Space Invaders. Too much damage for one to manage. Going 5150, speaking Spanish. Astimado, estoy pesado. Vivo la... Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling?
then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNAsylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
And welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we're going to talk all about this week's exciting NXT.
Because there's a man with a plan on this show.
There is a man with a plan on this show.
All right, so NXT this week, which is on the WWE Network for only $9.99. We had Hideo Itami versus Bull Dempsey in the opening contest. Bull was trying to be dominant early. Hideo made his comebacks, including his running dropkick in the corner, and a flying dropkick for the win. Easy peasy, Hideo Itami wins. After the match, Tyler Breeze actually attacked Hideo on the stage, and then Breeze has his selfie stick out. He's playing with it in front of everybody.
Tyler likes to play with his big stick in front of everybody.
Yes, he does. Then he was trying to take a picture of Hideo, and then Hideo is up on his feet. And then, well, they brawled for a bit, and then Breeze bailed, making sure to grab his stick on his way out.
Can't forget your stick.
No. The match with Bull and Hideo is fine. Nothing special about it.
It's an odd pairing. They did the best they could, but honestly, it was a really odd pairing with Hideo and Bull.
You can tell how far Bull is going down. Bull is falling down the ladder. After being an undefeated monster, he's now falling down the ladder, which is fine. They need people like that. And I'm not too keen on Hideo's finish.
They're working on it. They're working it out. I think they're trying to find him a finish that's not the GTS.
But I don't know if the running flying dropkick is it. I don't know. It seems a little too much like Daniel Bryan's knee and not as impressive.
Yeah.
So I think they need to come up with something a little bit different for Hideo. But that's just me. But I like the stuff with Breeze and Hideo, though.
The stuff with Breeze and Hideo is really good, and I can't wait to see more. But yeah, Bull, like they I forget who it was. I think it was Riley who said, you know, if you're a fan of WWE, how can you not like Bull Dempsey? Let me tell you how you cannot like Bull Dempsey.
Let me name the reasons.
Yeah, let me give you reasons why. Bull Dempsey is about as interesting as paint drying. And I feel really bad saying it, but it's true. Aside from the fact that he beats people up, why should I be interested in him? Because there's nothing to him. He's very transparent. He's very two-dimensional. He's very straightforward. It's like if you want someone to invest in him, give them a reason to.
And we haven't found that reason to invest in Bull Dempsey yet.
And the thing is like, essentially Bull Dempsey and Baron Corbin are the same character. The difference between Corbin and Dempsey is Corbin has the air of mystery to him that you want to figure him out.
Right.
Dempsey just doesn't have that. Because he lays it all out there for you.
I would agree with that. So that was our opening contest. It was announced next week on NXT will be Charlotte vs. Sasha Banks for the NXT Women's Championship, which is cool. That should be fun.
That should be good. And there was some smack talk between these two.
We're going to hear from Charlotte a little bit later in the program. Oh, we had a video package for THE Brian Kendrick. Yes, THE Brian Kendrick returns to NXT tonight. It's a cool video package. Forgot how much stuff he did.
Right?
It's been like forever. It's like, damn, man, it's awesome. Then we have the Lucha Dragons taking on Jason Jordan and Ty Dillinger.
Well,
last week was an introduction. It was a statement. Because I'm here on a mission. That mission ain't going to be complete until I'm NXT champion. You've been warned.
So this match was all about showing good focus on double teamwork by the Lucha Dragons throughout this match. And there was communication issues between Ty Dillinger and Jason Jordan, which ended up with Ty Dillinger going for a tag and Jason Jordan walking out, allowing the Lucha Dragons to pick up the victory.
So we see the breakup of a tag team.
We do. And yes, we, you know, it's playing long, but Solomon Crowe did a little interruption thingy.
He did, so we're building Solomon Crowe. I still need to see more from him.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm interested in what they're doing with him, but I need to see more.
Need to get, again, reasons to care.
Yeah.
We had an interview with Finn Balor. He was asked about Kevin Owens, and while he's not looking past, he basically said, I'm not looking past the Brian Kendrick tonight. Ty Dillinger was...
Wait. Before we go on, can I just say that, bless you, Finn, because he's so serious, and he's like, I'm concentrating on the Brian Kendrick, who's a former WWE Tag Team Champion, and I just started laughing.
Well,
just started laughing.
Well, he is apparently part of the longest reigning WWE Tag Team Champions.
Oh, I know he is, but it's like, that's the highest accolade they're gonna give Kendrick, because didn't Kendrick win one of the heavyweight titles?
No.
No, he competed for one.
Probably competed for one. Never. I don't think he's ever won. He's never won a championship, a single championship.
I thought he had.
No, go Google the Brian Kendrick. He will tell you. I thought his highest accomplishment was coming out as the singer on the box.
The Brian. Live Googling here on the rack.
Right, but
Kendrick. Kendrick.
But
found it.
You remember the singing box, him coming out of the box singing to The Undertaker?
Yeah, I do.
that was
all kinds of awkward.
That was a high point.
He's probably high when he did it.
Hey-o.
Oops. I let that slip out. Oops.
It's very evident. You know, he's had issues with the smokies.
Let's see.
As she Googles, I'm sitting here watching WrestleMania 17 with Eddie Guerrero beating Test with help from Perry Saturn and Dean Malenko.
Oh my god, Spanky. I completely forgot about Spanky.
You forgot he was Spanky?
I totally forgot that.
Yeah, he was Spanky.
Wow. So, let's see, they were elevated to the tag team title picture. On October 14th, London and Kendrick became the longest reigning WWE Tag Team Champions of all time, surpassing Eminem's previous record of 145 days.
Uh-oh.
So
there you go then.
They maybe should have thrown that in there. I don't know. That would have made it a little bit more impressive. But, well, you know, just Finn being like, he's a former tag team champion.
Well, they
isn't everybody?
Isn't, yeah. But no, they said it in commentary later on during the match.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So, we then had Ty Dillinger calling out Jason Jordan. Jordan didn't show up, but who showed up? Baron Corbin. And, well, in 20, 30 seconds, Baron Corbin won.
Go, Baron!
It was a Baron Corbin match. They got everything they wanted out of him. Hopefully, they're not going back to this routine.
I hope not.
Because I want to see character improvement. Just throwing that out there. We then heard from the number one contender, the former NXT Women's Champion.
Charlotte, how do you feel heading into next week's championship rematch against Sasha Banks?
Look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Sasha Banks, but she's never beaten me one-on-one. Nothing is guaranteed in life, but what is the title's coming back to where it belongs.
Charlotte wants her belt.
Yeah, she wants her belt back. She's a little upset.
Looking forward to the match next week.
Just a little bit. This should be exciting.
And then we heard from Mr. Selfie Stick.
Hideo Itami. Did you really think that you got one over on me? Because I don't really see it that way. I think of it more like you fell right into my trap. And soon enough, you're going to be squished in it like the little cockroach that you are.
Wow, very strong words from Prince Pretty to Hideo.
Yeah, they were very strong words. Thank you. Thank you, Tom Phillips. You stole the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Good and strong promo from Tyler Breeze. Then we had Becky Lynch taking on Bayley. Always love Bayley. It was back and forth. Basically, you can do it, I can do it better type of thing between both women, which is kind of cool. Becky Lynch then took control, and, well, the crowd was sort of split, cheering on Becky and Bayley. Part of me was like, are they doing it because they want to? Or are they trying to entertain themselves?
A little from column A, a little from column B.
Because, like, Bayley's the most, is the one you should be cheering, and Becky is trying to be the heel, and you should not be cheering the heel. So sometimes maybe actually boo a heel.
They can't do that.
They can't do that, but it'd be kind of awesome and nice. Bayley with a nice dropkick through the ring post. Bayley was showing some real aggression in this match, which was really cool to see. She was hitting all of her big moves. And then she gets caught on the ropes and hurts her shoulder. And, well, she went for the Bayley to belly. But Becky took control and grabbed her shoulder and started just stretching the shoulder with an armbar. And she bent it back.
Yeah, she did.
It made Bayley tap out. Good work. I love Bayley is awesome at selling injuries. It's impressive.
Girl knows how to sell.
She really, really does. That's the one really good quality she has, because she's such a great underdog. She has a great ability to sell, and she was good here. And I hope they continue, let the little injuries, always come into play. It gives in and out for her taking the fall, and it's actually really cool storytelling. She's good at that. Becky Lynch is your winner in the match. Good match.
Very good match. Kind of want to see more of these two.
We then heard from the man beast, Rhino.
Rhino, people are absolutely shocked that you showed up at NXT. Tell us, why are you here?
Shocked? Why am I here? Everywhere I go, I hear about NXT. I hear NXT this, NXT that. So I tuned in. And what did I see when I looked at the superstars? I seen the intensity in their eyes. I seen the fire and the drive that they have to be the best. And then I looked at myself in the mirror, and what did I see? I seen the same intensity that I've always had. I've seen the same, and I felt the fire that I've always had. So if you want to make a statement, you go to a place like NXT, and I'm here to climb to the top. And how am I going to do that? I'm going to do that by ripping people in half with a gore. Gore. Gore.
With one single promo, he just put over the importance of NXT.
Yes. Yes, he did. Thank you, Rhino.
He made NXT legit with one promo.
He did.
Because it's not like new guys coming in. This is an old-time veteran coming in and saying, I'm here because I've heard a lot. Anyone's kick some ass. Perfect.
And that's the way that if you want to bring in these guys, that's how you do it, where you have these veterans coming down, and it's, well, I've heard this is the place to be. And if this is where the best is, then this is where I want to be. And you have them come in every so often and not necessarily stay for a long while, because, again, against that. But if you want to have them come in and do a one-shot, like, you had Rhino.
Rhino's here for a little bit. But they're not, it's not being built around him.
No, it's not. And you have Kendrick coming in, and he did a one shot. And that helps to make NXT feel that much more important, because when you have these veterans, especially someone like Rhino coming in and saying, this is the best place to be in the world right now for wrestling, that's pretty high praise.
Very much so.
you know, where it's like basically NXT relit his spark for wrestling and he wants to be a part of it.
And that's great.
That's awesome.
We then were trying to catch up with Jason Jordan.
Excuse me, Jason. Excuse me, Jason, I just want to ask you a question. Jason, you just walked out on your tag team partner, Ty Dillinger. What was that all about out there?
I did what I did. As far as an explanation, I'll give you one when I'm ready.
So till then, F off.
Pretty much. We then had our main event, by Brian Kendrick taking on Finn Balor. Kevin Owens was on commentary. Good match. Kendrick tweaked his ankle. Owens suggested, why didn't Finn go after him? He was trying to make a whole point. And then tension sort of built between Riley and Owens on commentary. Respect, and Riley wasn't winning championships. He wouldn't know what it's like. And at that point, Owens sort of left commentary. And we had a good competitive match. And then they built Finn Balor. They used Kendrick to allow Finn Balor to, you know, there's a hell of a, before Balor went out of heat, Kendrick hit a hell of a tiger suplex. Man, he dropped Finn Balor on his head. It was awesome. But then we, Then we established, Finn Balor with a sling blade, the drop kick, and then the double stomp from the top rope. Winner Finn Balor. Good match. Finn Balor's getting over.
Yeah, he's getting over in a big way.
And then after the match, Kevin Owens returned, he was staring at Balor, and then looked over at Riley, grabbed Riley, and tossed him over the announce table onto the floor. Seems like Riley's gonna be coming after Owens after that.
He could.
Solid show, wasn't a great show, but it was a solid show. Like, it was good to see Brian Kendrick back.
It was good to see Brian Kendrick back. I kind of missed him. I liked the stuff between Owens and Riley. I liked Balor here. Balor and Kendrick was super good.
The girls were good tonight as well.
And yeah, the rest of it was just, it was there. But they were obviously building to that next big event, so.
And they're building up to something. The next week we can get Charlotte and Sasha Banks for the gold. I'm looking forward to that. I think that's even the main event of the show. Maybe. And we'll hear from Sami Zayn next week as well.
Yay! Yeah, I'm excited for Charlotte and Sasha. Really excited. This should be good.
Should be really, really good.
But on that note, I say we take our second break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about tonight's SmackDown, which emanated from Atlanta, Georgia, so I can give my live notes, because I actually got to go to the show.
Plus Fastlane
and Tweet of the Week, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, Yes, Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks, and What's Up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena Sucks.
No, you didn't.
A little bit. Great.
I love these picks.
Sub, you picked Yes, Yes, Yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick.
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to chain the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year. Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations. You picked the winning one. Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get them all off them? Can I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WGR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait. Down. I think my mind, I think my head just exploded. I'm done.
I'm seeing something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jones! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a jab. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down! He's assaulting Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rock on Wild Talk Radio.
Live faster. And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Dolph Ziggler. Oh my god, you guys, it's like so winter out right now in honor of the snow. WWE creative humor. Would it have killed us to show a clip of The Undertaker beating IRS? Stephanie McMahon. At Triple H, to his wife, what time will you be home? Hashtag ask Steph. Hashtag 31 to 31. Taking the red eye home tonight, baby. See you in the AM. With a little heart eye smiley. Triple H. Our chairman at Vince McMahon boldly goes into the virtual future, and it has Vince with these, like, I guess, goggles on.
You can find the picture at Wild Talk Radio right now.
Yeah. And the hashtag is, wait till he finds out I sent this photo. Oh, Hunter, you asshole.
Right.
Dolph Ziggler. A bird and a lizard are splashing around in my waterfall. Just going to assume they're baptizing each other. Dolph Ziggler. We're debating a dress color, and the 1% just became the 0.9%, but chill, when they hit 0.5%, they're releasing another llama in a dress! That's all I got.
I don't have that many either. AJ Lee, I took two important phone calls while in the shower today because I'm a goddamn professional. Matt Striker, I like to check my Tinder at wrestling shows and try to spot them in the crowd. Kind of creepy, but fun. That's creepy, Matt. Really creepy. Andrew Goldstein, Vince, hashtag Vince, this is a quote, Vince, Fastlane is booked against the Oscars. He can. So? It's a conflict for wrestling fans' girlfriends. Whole room laughs hysterically. Rockstar Spud, best picture, Rambo, best screenplay, Rambo. Best actor, Rainbow. Best supporting actor, Rainbow. Best actress, Rainbow. Hashtag Oscars. Keep it 5-star. Look at Catwoman Natalia. She's Natwoman. Hashtag WWE Fastlane. Betty freaking White. First the guy from the State Farm commercials, now the proactive guy? This show has it all. Hashtag Oscars. Keep it 5-star. Look on the bright side, John Cena. Now when Nikki Bella wants to have kids, you can use Rusev as a legit excuse. Hashtag Cena vs. Rusev. Keep it 5-star. Randy Orton knows he has to wear pants to a business meeting, right? Hashtag Orton on Raw.
Dude, it's Orton. He never wears pants. Like, ever.
No, he really doesn't. Three-man booth. John Cena did not give up. Well, at least his towels are still true. WWE creative-ish. Why compete in the ring for title shots when we can get a hashtag trending on Twitter? Quoting Luthaz. Hashtag Raw tonight. And finally, keep it 5-star, were there no other black guys? Kofi, Big E, Woods, Titus, Young, Mark Henry, Mark Henry's hand son, all better options than R-Truth. Hashtag Raw. That's Tweet of the Week.
So do we want to talk about SmackDown or do we want to talk about Fastlane?
Let's talk about SmackDown. Let's get into SmackDown. Well, maybe we should talk about Fastlane first because that's the way it would be in order, right?
Yeah.
Alright, let's talk about WWE Fastlane. This was a solid show overall. There were a couple good matches, a couple really good matches. The final two matches were actually really good. The women's match was alright, and everything else was sort of just there. We'll start on the pre-show. because we have some notes, because I actually took some notes. As I watch Trish and Stephanie slap each other around at WrestleMania 17 at the moment, always fun to watch. Because we're getting to the moment where Linda gets out of her chair. It's awesome.
Spoilers!
It happened years ago. 14 years
spoilers.
Ago. Spoilers! Spoiler alert. Anyway. Pre-show had Miz TV with Paul Heyman. The only thing you can really take away from it is Brock was not at Fastlane.
Yeah.
And you want Miz now? You were getting Miz now sitting in the corner, and he was sitting in the corner like, I'm in timeout.
Poor Miz now.
And then Heyman got creeped out by Miz now. That was pretty much summed up Miz TV.
Pretty much.
We then get to the main show. Ziggler, Rowan, and Ryback took on Big Show, Kane, and Seth Rollins. First thing we gotta mention, Eric Rowan has new gear.
He has a little insignia and a sheep on the back of his jumpsuit.
And his R on the front. It's awesome.
It's so cute.
Eric Rowan injured his knee on the ring post when he did the spin kick and Big Show moved. And they worked over Eric for a while. It's like, really? That's what we're doing?
Yeah, they did.
It's like, out of everybody, we're working over Eric Rowan, not Ziggler, not Ryback. It's Rowan, the biggest guy in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Big Show doing a submission move on Rowan. Huh? That made no sense to me.
That, it was a little weird.
But that's, you know, just me. That's my thinking on it. But I'm weird like that. Ryback got in. He had Rollins up in ready for in a suplex type thing. J&J security interfered. Ryback caught Rollins in a suplex, which was really nice. Hit shell shock, but Big Show hit a splash. Ziggler runs wild on Kane until Big Show knocks out Ziggler. Kane picks up the win on the pay per view.
He does. Go Kane.
And you know we got that one right.
We did.
You know, take that magic eight ball. Magic 8-Ball picked the other guys. Anyway. After the match, the Authority was laying out Ryback and Rowan, and then, out of nowhere, Randy Orton appeared.
He heard voices in his head.
And he came, you know, to the ring, RKO's changing security. RKO to Kane, but Seth Rollins escaped. He tried grabbing Rollins' pants, and we almost saw a lot more of Rollins than we already saw. We saw a lot of his front. We may have saw a lot of his back.
We saw crack, at least.
We saw his crack.
And that's the point where it's like, okay, Randy, we've already seen enough of Seth for this month. Let's not do that.
We have our quota of Seth Rollins, and if you haven't, you don't know more about Seth Rollins, go back to rockradioshow.com and listen to our interview with Seth Rollins from last month before the Royal Rumble.
It's awesome.
It is. So, solid opener.
Very solid opener. There were some confusing things like them working over Eric. That was a little odd, but all in that, it was pretty solid.
Backstage, we had Goldust saying he's not facing Cody, he's facing Stardust, and tonight Goldust won't leave the ring until he brings his brother home. He was talking to his father at this point. Then we had Goldust versus Stardust. We had a new look for Stardust, which was kind of creepy.
He didn't have a shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he forgot the top half of his gear. I don't know what happened, but yeah, he had no shirt with gloves and the latex pants.
Yeah, it was weird.
Very weird.
Goldust went for a director's cut early, but Cody escaped, or Stardust rather. Stardust worked over Goldust for a majority of the match, and then eventually Goldust rolled up Stardust for the win. It was like, huh?
I was expecting a lot more out of this.
I was expecting a real fight.
And I don't know whether they're going to do it at Mania. I don't know what the deal is, but yeah, I was with you. I was expecting a fight on this one, and it was like you blinked and you missed the finish.
I clearly blinked and missed the finish. I had to wait for them to replay. I was like, oh, that's how it happened?
Pretty much.
But you were waiting for Goldust because you were waiting for Goldust to make his big comeback and just, you know, beat down Stardust, and Stardust come up back and get the victory, and Goldust starts to make a little comeback and then just roll him up in 1, 2, 3. I was like, huh. And what was weird, the ref's hand never actually hit for 3.
Yeah. Somebody miscounted there.
It was like 1, 2, 3, ding, ding, ding. Oh, okay. Goldust offered a handshake after the match, but Stardust walked off disappointed in himself. Stardust then attacked Goldust backstage, and then basically to sum up what he was saying, Dusty Rhodes killed Cody Rhodes.
Great promo.
It was. You have to actually go back and listen to it if you haven't heard it. He talks all about it, and yeah, really good. Stardust is, match aside, Stardust is doing some of the best mic work he's done in a long time.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
We got this matchup correct. Score. We then had the Usos take on Kid and Cesaro. They were working over the leg of an Uso for a while. We had the one leg swing and a half crab, which was really nice. Multiple double teams by Kid and Cesaro. We had an assisted Samoan drop for a two count by the Usos. On an Uso dive, Kid got slammed at barricade by an Uso, leading to a long count out spot by teams. Uso splash countered into the knees for a two count. Kid locks in a sharpshooter, but Uso comes in with a super kick. Cesaro and Uso trade shots back and forth. Kid then ends up rolling up an Uso. And yes, we have new tag team champions. Kid and Cesaro picked up the win. I was surprised by that outcome.
I was surprised, but not really, because they're obviously pushing Cesaro and Kid pretty heavy, so why not?
Yeah, and I was just surprised that so early the title change came in the feud.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Magic 8-Ball didn't take out that one, right?
Hmm.
Dastardly Magic 8-Ball. We then had this Sting and Hunter segment. It was basically Hunter talks about he stands in the ring as CEO, the heartbeat of the WWE. He stands in the ring as the WWE, as the King of Kings, in the WWE ring as the King of Kings. Sting was WCW. Triple H backed the wrong horse. Hunter says there's guys like him that put his legacy out of business. And then Sting came to the ring. Triple H was like, what if I give you your legacy back? Your legacy will live on through the WWE Network and DVDs. And down the line, I can put you into the WWE Hall of Fame. Or we could do it another way, and I could beat your legacy out of you, and I will erase you from history. And then, well, we had a fight.
We did have a fight. It was Sludgy versus Bat.
Hunter grabbed the sledgehammer, Sting brought his bat. And, yeah, as Lindsay said, Sludgy versus the bat. It, yeah, she called it on point when we were talking as this was going on. Sting points at the sign that puts it on the throat of Hunter multiple times, shot after shot. So if you're playing the drinking game, they do a lot of WrestleMania sign points by Sting. And then finally Sting nails Triple H with Matt, Scorpion, Death Drop, and that's how that segment ended. Good segment. It set the tone. Still waiting to actually hear from Sting.
Yeah, I'd like to see Sting at some point actually cut a promo, but we'll see if that happens.
Yes, we will. We then had the WWE Divas Championship, Nikki Bella versus Paige. Solid match between the two girls. We had a nice Alabama slam for a two count by Nikki. Paige tried to lock into PTO. Nikki got to the ropes. Then Nikki rolled up Paige, hooked the tights, and picked up the win. This was the first instance where we saw the new camera in the ring post.
We did.
And Paige's top almost came off.
Yeah, Paige got really lucky that her top didn't split open, and I think that might be why the match ended when it did, was because, well, we almost had a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, we almost did.
And it's probably like, oh, crap, this is not good.
No, it's not good. We then had breaking news. Sting versus Triple H will be announced. It was announced for WrestleMania. Then the Intercontinental title, Bad News Barrett, Dean Ambrose. Dean in the beginning just swinging and hitting air, which was hilarious.
Yeah, it's like me playing the video game.
Exactly was. Hitting button. How do I get back into the ring? There's a spot where Dean got tossed out, and she's like, what do I hit? What do I hit to get back in the ring? It's awesome.
I'm hitting the button. It's not working. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Right. There was a nice spot with Dean being tossed in. Dean with a nice spot being tossed in the ring and spun it into a clothesline on the outside. Wasteland for two, Bullhammer miss, Ambrose with a big clothesline comeback. Barrett tries to leave with the title, gets brought back in, goes back out. And eventually, to stop him from leaving, he just beat on him to Dean Ambrose and ended up getting disqualified. So Wade Barrett retains the Intercontinental title. Good match up until the finish. Wasn't happy with the finish.
Yeah, I'd really like to see them start giving Dean wins on pay-per-views. Because he looked really strong, and it was a really good match up until the finish, and then the finish was just kind of like, eh.
Right.
And, but it's interesting because Dean was like, well, screw you. I may have lost, but I'm taking your belt. And that's exactly what he did. He walked off with the Intercontinental Championship because he's like, I won.
Haha.
It's mine.
It's my belt. And then this was the segment that sort of ended the show for me, Lindsay. Bray Wyatt.
Oh my God.
Wait a minute. Guys, my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Feeling in the air tonight. Can you feel it? You know, I will never forget the first time that I saw him. He made me tremble. His eyes, they were so cold, man. And behind them was nothing but darkness. And I feared him. But now, he has become just like everyone else. Weak and broken. Just a shell of what he once was. His obsession with sympathy has turned a monster into a mere mortal. And now his soul is lost. Stuck in limbo between your world and ours. But I think, man, I think it's time for him to go home. My mission is clear. I know you can hear me. I know that you are listening. And I want you to know that I don't fear you anymore. Because I am pain. I am suffering. I am Bray Wyatt, the new face of fear. And at WrestleMania, I will claim the soul of the Undertaker.
I heart you, Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, you phenomenal asshole, you. That was just... Like, you kind of had a hunch that he was going to do something on this show because there was just that feeling that something big was coming. That was epic.
It really, really was. And you had Bray Wyatt come... You had the Druids come out. You had the gong. You had the music. Alright, we talk about Lindsay's, you know, getting excited for the Undertaker and Bray Wyatt stuff. She had a high-pitched squee when the Druids came out. It was awesome.
The sound was unhuman.
It really, really was. So you had the Druids, you had the music, you had the casket, you had the smoke and the fire. It was like, did this man just steal all the Taker stuff?
Bray Wyatt... stole all of Taker's stuff. Like, that's the awesome thing about it, was that, like, he stole everything. The druids, the fog, the gong, the music, the casket, the entrance, just all of it. And he has the balls to do that. And then he cuts that promo laying in a casket.
Yeah.
And then leaves in said casket. Like, it was just perfect. Because for a second it's like, oh my god, is it Taker? Because the way that they did it is the druids rolled out a casket. And it's closed, obviously, so you don't know who's in it, but you can look at it and you obviously tell it is not a Taker-sized casket.
Close.
Very close, but not the Taker size, because his is actually much larger, but...
He's big. Taker's a big man.
Yeah. Dude's, like, huge.
Bray's a little husky, but, you know, Taker, you know, he's a big dude.
Taker's got 4 inches, at least, on Bray.
Yeah.
But, so they bring the casket out, they set it up at ringside, they open it up, and Bray Wyatt pops up, and it's like, oh, yes. Yes, 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 this was a high point. And it's like, you could not have done that any better, because it's like, Bray Wyatt calls out The Undertaker. And the way that he says it, I'm going to claim the soul of The Undertaker. It's like, oh, this just got interesting.
We stepped up the bar here. Alright, alright.
Now, if we could only get Taker to respond.
If we could drag Taker out of his hole and respond, it would be tremendous. But this was a great segment. Like, alright, no joke, we were giddy for about an hour.
Yeah, because it's... Nothing will make me fangirl like Taker makes me fangirl.
This is a Tyson Kidd fact.
Yes, hashtag fact. And so it's like to hear the gong and the music and see the entrance again. It was just all kinds of amazing.
It really was, and it was fun. It was cool. It's setting the feud up to be something really, really special. And we don't have time to get into it tonight, but they got some stuff to do. Gotta get Taker out of his hole. This could be really, really good. They're taking good steps.
It could be, yeah. Yeah, we gotta get Taker to respond, but this could be really interesting.
Bray Wyatt is feeling it.
Oh my god, and it's just tremendous. And I love how everybody's reaction to it was like, Bray Wyatt, you asshole, I love you.
Right?
That was like the general reaction of like everybody. It's awesome.
Apparently we have breaking news.
Oh god, more?
Mr. Money in the Bank was on the Daily Show.
Oh, was he?
Apparently he was. Check it out later. I just got the tweet from WWE Universe. Hello, Mr. Stewart. And it's Seth Rollins on The Daily Show. Things got interesting there.
They did.
We'll have to talk about that next week. Cena and Rusev for the U.S. title, good match. Rusev dominated for a while. There's a slugfest involved. Rusev broke out of the crossface, not the STF. Michael Cole, there's a difference between the STF and the crossface. Maybe you should learn it.
Yeah, he's been there long enough. If he hasn't learned it by now, he's not going to.
This is true. Rusev went for a kick, then Cena locked in the STF, and then hit an AA for a 2 count. Cena got caught from the top rope into a powerbomb, which was really, really, nice. Rusev then locked in the accolade. Cena was trying to get out of it. He starts to break it, then Lana comes in. She thought Rusev wins, so she has the belt. Walking into the ring, ref saying, no, 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 no. And then Rusev kicks Cena in the nuts, and then put the accolade on. Cena passed out. Your winner, Rusev. Good match.
Good match. Good ending to the match.
Yes, yes indeed.
Very creative ending, and that's how you do it. Now you just have to, you don't have Rusev. Pin Cena.
Yeah. Pinning Cena at WrestleMania. That'll happen.
Totally. Works for Bray Wyatt.
Oh, wait.
It didn't.
Didn't it? Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns in your main event. Crowd was pro Daniel Bryan. There were people cheering for Roman Reigns too, but by the end it was pro Daniel Bryan. Roman tossed Bryan around for a while. Bryan worked over the leg of Roman. Roman spins Bryan into an inside-out clothesline, which was nice. He hit the Hebrew dropkick. He had a Superman punch, but it kicked to, but blocked it into the kick to the liver, and that's where Bryan took over for a while. With a yes lock, Roman Reigns escapes. Bryan with the three dives to the ropes. Third one though got caught. Roman drops Bryan into his head, drops Bryan on his head. Roman then eventually went into the steps. Both men beat the 10 count. Roman went for a spear inside cradle for a 2 count. Bryan goes for a running knee, connects a 2 count. First man to ever kick out Bryan's knees. Running knee. Roman stops the kicks. Bryan counters in an armbar into the yes lock, which was a nice counter. Roman breaks out of it. Hammers Bryan with shots. Roman counters with the Hell's Gate into a powerbomb. Both men lay down. Kicking and punching back and forth. Bryan goes for the running knee again, but got caught into a spear. 1, 2, 3. Roman Reigns is headed to WrestleMania. Bryan tells Roman, better go kick his ass, as both men shake hands to end the pay-per-view.
That was a good finish, a good match. I don't think a lot of people were happy about it, but it was a good match.
And an update, Seth Rollins challenged Jon Stewart to appear on Raw this Monday night.
Oh, things are getting interesting.
Tune into the Raw post show for that one. Good main event, really good match. I liked it.
I liked it too. Like I said, I don't think a lot of people liked it because I think a lot of people did want to see Bryan go on to Mania, but I'm happy that WWE stuck to their guns and that they're going to let Roman go on to the main event of WrestleMania, or go on, I should say, to the match with Brock at WrestleMania, because we don't know if it's the main event yet. But I'm happy that they did that, that they let that go through, because had they not, I think it would have really compromise what the Rumble win means, because then it's like, well, hey, you know, yeah, you supposedly get a guaranteed shot, but anybody can, you know, like, demand a match and you can potentially lose it, and that hurts what the Rumble means. So the fact that they had Roman put it on the line to create the drama with Bryan, but then they let Roman go forward, I think helped him a lot.
Yes, this is it. To quickly go through it, you went 3-4, I went 5-2. Ha ha, ha ha, I beat you. And you tied with the Magic 8-Ball 3-4.
Ha-ha!
What, that you did as good as the Magic 8-Ball?
Yes.
So there you go. Alright, so I'm going to set this up and then I'm going to shut up for a minute, a few minutes. So Lindsay Ward decided to travel this past week to a little event called SmackDown, which happened to take place at the Phillips Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. I think Lindsay lives there. So at this point, the Rack takes over SmackDown. Go.
It was so much fun. It's been about a year since I've been to any kind of wrestling event, and the last time I went was a WWE house show when they came to Salt Lake, and yeah, they didn't bring really anybody. No offense to people that were there, but yeah, they just didn't really bring any of the big stars out, and so this was a nice experience to go see SmackDown and see a lot of the bigger names. Got to see Roman, got to see Boo Boo, got to be a Firefly. Was very happy about that twice, because he and Roman had the dark match, and they actually put on a pretty good show. Bray is a much bigger jerk in person. At least when he's out working. Didn't actually meet him or anything, but, you know, when he's Bray being Bray, he's a little bit more of a jerk, which is awesome. But, yeah, this was actually the best Atlanta crowd I've seen since WrestleMania.
Right.
Like, I don't know if you could pick up on it, but they were like, just when Bryan came out and you're in the middle of the yes chants, it was kind of an amazing experience, because, like, it was just the crowd united just chanting, you know, yes, 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 yes. And then when Bryan's like, no! We all got really confused, because, like, wait, what?
What? We're supposed to be doing yes, yes, yes. Not no, like, no, no.
Wait, we're going back to the yes, no thing? Okay, we can do that.
Right, and for people watching live, I'm flashing some of your pictures up on the screen right now. See, we're multi-talented as we're talking about this show.
I'm not a photographer. Please excuse the crappy quality.
Oh, they're fine. Shut up.
But, yeah, had pretty good seats. It was a little elevated, but, yeah. It was actually a pretty entertaining SmackDown. The six-man at the end was really good. The opening segment was really good. Dean was hilarious. I loved the backstage bit with Truth and Dean. The only thing that we didn't see live was Miz and Mizdow. I don't remember them being on.
I didn't see it in the reports.
Yeah, so I don't think it was there, and they just added that in later. But, yeah, overall, it was a really fun show to go to, very entertaining. It was funny because at one point, I was sitting there, it was in between main event and SmackDown, and New Day was out, and I'm like, and they were saying, you know, SmackDown's starting soon, and I'm tweeting Rock, and I'm like, or I'm texting Rock, and I'm like, I always joke when SmackDown's gonna start, because I always say, damn it, I want my cult leader, and I started to say that, and then the Ascension came out, and it's like, damn it, I want my, oh, it's the Ascension.
Yeah, I have about 60 texts sitting on my phone right now from the show. It's awesome.
He got live spoilers.
I did, it was tremendous. But she had a great time. She saw, like, every... The only person she didn't see that she wanted to see was Luke Harper.
Yeah, Luke didn't come out. I'm sure he was there, but he didn't come out. But I got to see Kane. I got to see Eric. I got to see Boo Boo. Got to see Roman. Got to see Dean. Got to see Seth. Natty. Naomi.
Now,
Lana.
I was going to say, she's short in person.
Lana?
Yeah.
Yeah. She wears some major heels. She's probably wearing 5-6-inch heels.
Because you were telling me that, you know, she turned one corner and she's like, where'd she go?
Yeah, she's very small in person. You know, in terms of just being very petite. You know, it's like, you know, she's so skinny that the joke is she turns sideways and she disappears. It's kind of it, because, like, trying to get a picture of her was super hard. But also got to see Paige in person, which I think that's the first time I've seen Paige live. And she's awesome.
Right? And you took pictures of her backside.
Those were requested, as I recall.
From what King Kins?
Yes.
So any ass shot you see on the screen right now is because of King Kins wanting to see Paige's ass.
Well, I figured every guy on the network wanted to see Paige's ass.
I think you wanted to see Paige's ass, too.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain. It's a cute ass.
Not going to lie, it is.
But, yeah, so... But it was a really good experience. They're coming back in July for anybody in the Atlanta area. They're going to be here on July 13th. I can't go because I'm going to be out of town. But, yeah, so if anybody wants to go, go have fun. It's always fun to see WWE live.
Yes.
But they're also coming back, I think, in September for Survivor Series.
November. But overall, good show. You had fun?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, The Rock was live for SmackDown. Overall, SmackDown tonight was alright show. Bray's promo was cool. Six Man was cool. And we gotta talk about this really quick. I heart you, R-Truth, tonight on commentary for calling
R-Truth was hilarious.
For calling Byron Saxton the coach all night, talking about Ro Flo and Michelle Beadle and being on Grantland and SportsCenter and all that stuff. Well done, R-Truth. That's what's up. They stole the plot of the show was Barrett didn't have his belt. He eventually got his belt back. And then R-Truth stole the belt back and then gave the belt back to Dean. And so for the first time in WWE history, the title, according to R-Truth, changed place twice in one night.
SmackDown's on fire.
SmackDown's on fire, according to
That's
R-Truth.
Hilarious.
Great. Fun show. Fun little show tonight.
Yes, I agree with that.
But I think we're done.
I think we are done, so I say we wrap it on up with some plugs.
Check out The Wreck Extra Total Divas Season 3, Episode 17, now available on Rock Radio Show, alltalkradio.com. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, The Weird, The Unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, facebook.com/cigarettes and bandanas. CBRadioLive.com is the website. Hashtag Blame Rob. Sunday is Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason, Mike, and Cover. Omega covering a week in pro wrestling. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Apparently Monday Night Raw is going to be a big to-do because Jon Stewart apparently might be there because Seth Rollins challenged him to show up. Should be interesting. Since they're going to be in New Jersey after all.
They are.
And he tapes his show in New York, so it's a little drive over the bridge and, you know, bing, bam, boom, Jon Stewart probably on Monday Night Raw. So check out the Raw Post Show. We'll talk all about it. 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Rack, Facebook.com/WTR_Rack. Follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Get us on TuneIn and iTunes. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. iTunes, search Wild Talk Radio Network and Rack Radio Show. Steam for Stitcher, Wild Talk Radio Network and Rack Radio Show. Your turn.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211.
Hold on, one other thing. Since you mentioned Matt's stuff, check out...
Oh, right.
Check out his podcast, The Figure Mark, which is the new episode we're probably out this week, where he talks to Brian Shields, former guest of The Rack.
Go, Matt! Can't wait to hear what they have to say.
So check out The Figure Mark, same place, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Yes. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye! If the sky turns black, it don't matter. We know. WildTalkRadio.com.